Hi, I'm Sarah Flower, and thanks for listening to KSUT. We are joined today with Leanne Jalan, Executive Director of San Juan Basin Public Health Department, to do our weekly update on COVID-19. Hi, Leanne.
Hi, Sarah.
I wanted to talk about the upcoming flu season and flu vaccines and when that comes online. Let's talk about this and how it coincides with COVID-19.
Yeah, these are great questions. We often all around the country, you know, through the fall, public health really puts out messaging around getting a flu shot and then taking precautions for flu season. And the precautions for flu season, you know, are similar to COVID-19. It's stay home if you're symptomatic, wash your hands, you know, keep distance from people who are exhibiting symptoms, that type of thing. We will be really working on encouraging those messages this fall, because what we do see is, you know, variability from year to year about how virulent a flu strain is and then how well matched the flu that's circulating is with the vaccine that's developed that year. And so with those different combinations, we have higher flu years with higher utilization of hospitals. We have lesser flu years. But, you know, what people are really concerned about is having a heavy flu year on top of a COVID pandemic and increasing demand on hospitals. So the things that we will encourage through the fall is everybody who is recommended to get a flu shot should get a flu shot, and we should follow all of our social distancing precautions that we have in place. You know, some of the interesting things are the flu shot will, we always have kind of a lower utilization of flu shots by the general population than we would like to see to adequately protect the population. So with that, you know, we're hoping to increase the use of it, but we do have the potential for running into some shortages of vaccine, because it's, you know, if we're trying to get much larger numbers of individuals to use flu shots, but there isn't sort of this, you know, increased production in a really short amount of time, we could potentially not have enough flu shots for everybody everywhere. So that's one thing that's a concern. Another thing that's really interesting, you know, we're watching this closely. We're looking at Southern Hemisphere countries that are already in their winter and they're already experiencing flu at the same time of COVID. And they're finding that due to the social distancing that's in place and the kind of symptom vigilance that everyone has in place around COVID, it's helping keep the flu also in check, because people are just generally spreading less germs because they're paying such close attention to COVID. So that's a positive for watching this. But again, you know, we talk about this all the time, you and I do, Sarah, about this is a new virus, COVID-19. You know, obviously the flu is not new, but we learn every day about COVID-19. We're going to learn about the intersections of COVID-19 and the flu, you know, as we go through the fall and winter. We really hope that, you know, as people consult with their providers and pay attention, that, you know, everyone that's eligible for a flu shot goes out and gets one. And we talk about this every year. The flu shot is often to protect others. It's just like wearing a face mask, right? You are preventing the flu from circulating in the population by getting your flu shot. So while you as an individual may not have a very serious outcome of having the flu, you are always able to pass it on to someone who can and can have a terrible outcome. So every year, you know, public health talks about this. When you get a flu shot, you're protecting you, but more importantly, you're protecting people around you, you know, who can't get a flu shot, right? People who are immune compromised cannot get a flu shot to protect them. It is your job to get a flu shot to help others, because others may have, you know, terrible consequences. So that's, you know, similar to what we're talking about in COVID, which is wearing our mask so we don't pass it on to someone who could have worse consequences, but also, you know, thinking about what it's going to look like when we have a vaccine, if we have a vaccine, right? So there is, you know, kind of talk in the national media that we can expect a COVID vaccine sometime in 2021. And that's when we can start really getting things back to normal and having life look much more similar to how it did before the pandemic.
Leanne, do we know much about the vaccine, whether it would be like a one-off like a measles, or would it be that it mutates every year like the flu and it's recommended every year? Or is it a wait and see process?
I think that some of, again, it's a new virus. I think there's different, you know, there's different theories out there, and that's part of why we need to put every bit of effort into rapid diagnostics so that we can get the economy open, get schools open, get people back to normal using rapid diagnostic testing while we're still learning how this vaccine protocol is going to work to keep us all safe.
And this is something, too, that in the past month, Governor Jared Polis has been really touting is this is what we have to do to flip this, to help flip the switch, is to do this rapid diagnostic testing. But I do kind of feel like the rural areas are second fiddle to who gets priorities for these rapid testing. Does it feel like that's shifting in our region?
I don't know that it's so much of a rural area. I think that there are kind of choke points all the way through the development of new testing and the shifting from the PCR diagnostic testing, which is a high sensitivity test, meaning that it's very accurate, to some of the rapid testing, which may be less accurate, but if it can be less accurate, but much less expensive and just used widely and available everywhere to everyone so that people could get tested multiple times, we would see a tremendous shift. And sort of how we get from where we are today to kind of that ideal state has all kinds of other complications, whether they're, you know, emergency use authorizations from the FDA down to distribution of the resources to get it done. And then the question starts to become, well, okay, what's being offered, you know, in urban areas versus what's being offered in rural areas. And, you know, what we've seen so far around the diagnostic testing, the PCR testing, is we are seeing better availability in urban areas that, you know, at least here in Colorado. We've also seen urban areas, you know, across the country through all of this that have not had nearly enough testing to contain disease. So again, it's getting to less expensive, rapid testing that can be done in really different places. You don't have to go through drive-throughs. You don't have to go to providers, right? If we could really get them in the hands of everybody, we could start to contain this prior to having the vaccine.
I almost envision it like an at-home pregnancy test at some point where you could just kind of know immediately or within a couple of minutes of what that would look like so everybody could have a great compass of what that is. But that's dreaming from somebody that is not in the healthcare profession even a little
bit. No, that is one of the types of tests that's being investigated right now, is something that people could do absolutely in the privacy of their own home before they, you know, choose what their activities for that day are, right? So those are all the different, you know, it's this real shifting in the way we're thinking about this. For the last 5 months that the U.S. has been containing disease with these high sensitivity, difficult to perform PCR diagnostic tests. And what you're describing by having it be something like a pregnancy test is one of the paths forward that people are considering. Should we be putting every bit of effort into developing this type of testing that we're putting into developing a vaccine? So that way we have kind of a multi-pronged path forward to contain disease and get things back to normal.
Leanne Gillon, Executive Director of San Juan Basin Public Health Department. Anything else you want to add for our listeners here today?
I think it is a really interesting discussion to figure out, you know, as we move into fall and, you know, we need to get children back in school, we need to get people back to work. You know, the economy is having, you know, such an uneven recovery, and we're having people just in really tough circumstances being left behind. You know, starting to think about different ways to find our way through this as a nation are really interesting. And, you know, from a local public health perspective, we're working across the state really to figure out what the right resources are so that we can be part of the steps forward, you know, one small part in this community while everyone starts taking these steps.
Leanne Gillon, thanks so much for joining us here on KSUT for our weekly COVID-19 update.